I turned around for 1 second. She's got three of those motherfuckers in her mouth. Whoa, yeah. I was like, holy shit.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm discombobulated. Everything's new around here. We got a new format. We're talking about different things. The screen is right in my head. I feel like I can bump my head against the screen, but it's bigger for you guys, and it's better in here, definitely, right?
Yeah, I don't think that makes any sense to anybody listening to the podcast.
Sure, but that's what's happening.
If you're watching, yeah, it's a little bit different of a setup here. Hopefully you can see the screen a little bit better. Also, we have somebody else controlling the screen, so I'm not responsible for what comes up on the screen.
We bought a new AI. His name is Simon, and you might hear him from time to time. Nobody agreed on this with me, and I'm jumping in with both feet. So there you go. Are you there, Simon?
Hello.
Oh, you fucked it up, dude. God damn it. All right.
That's it. Don't go with it.
Yeah. Don't go with it.
It is kind of weird. Like, I got to sit back and talk now, and, you know, he's going to be pulling up all the stuff, but it is, a little worrisome. Who knows what imagery he's going to pull up here. He's got control of the screen.
And not just that, but like before, we were only getting 10% of Bobby's mental capacity. Get ready for all 100%.
Oh, no. Yeah. Dude, they don't want that.
This guy can dissect an apple with his mind.
It's my superpower. If I were an adventurer, that would be it. I'm more useless than Hawkeye.
Just by chance, we're fighting a giant apple.
oh, my God. So what was your week like? Because mine was not fun.
Yeah, mine was a weird week. We wrapped up another half. So last week we were talking about how, like, we cut half of our site off. Well, now we cut another half of it off. Mm-hmm. So
there's the construction site that I work at.
Yeah. And it is tiny now, and tomorrow the layoffs start, and so it's going to be really weird. Like, everything's off.
Are you going to make the cut, you think?
Well, I'm a little worried, because last time I was the one who made the list of who's getting cut or helped with it, and this time I wasn't asked my opinion. So I'm like, oh, shit, does that mean I'm on the list? I don't think so, though.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Some tense situations there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last week, I feel like we should apologize for. That was pretty bad.
Well, you were a piece of bacon.
Pretty crispy, man. So yeah. I went to the beach a little over a week ago and just got roasted. I do not belong out in the sun. And it took me a while to get over that. Like, I was not only, like, burnt all over my body. It wasn't really all over my body, but it was some really bad spots, like the top of my feet. You know, some of those really bad spots.
Did you get the ear? Ears are pretty bad.
No. I did put on suntan lotion, and it seemed like it worked in spots around me. Gotcha. But then some places were just, like, toasted.
Yeah.
But, like, mentally, I was just like, I don't know, man. You know, if you're out in the sun for too long, like, it can affect you mentally. So, yeah, that's kind of where my headspace was at last week. But it took me a while to get over that, and it completely dried out my sinuses. So, like, dude, it wouldn't go away all week. So I looked it up. I'm like, how do you fix dry sinuses? And apparently, like, one of the things you can do is stop taking antihistamines. And I take this thing to, like, keep me from sneezing every day. Stopped taking that about 2 days ago. Sinuses got way better.
You're, like, double drying, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It all started from that day at the beach. But I have a feeling it's, you know, also half of California is on fire. So yeah, I think that had something to do with it.
There's fucking ash falling from the sky out here, guys. Yeah. It's not very often where we're at, but yeah, every once in a while you'll just see a fleck of ash.
Yeah. Yeah. It's out where my parents live. It's a little more like that.
The sun is red almost every day. You can look at the sun now. I mean, not for a long time, but there's just like a constant haze over it. There's a haze in the sky nonstop. It almost looks like marine layer. If you've ever seen it, it doesn't go away, and it makes the sun red as shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's even crazier in San Francisco. Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah, I've seen the pictures.
Did you see that guy on Twitter who, like, he took some video with a drone and then put, like, the Blade Runner soundtrack to it? And it looks pretty good, man. It looks pretty good.
But just in general, our world has a, like, a very slight pink or red tint to it. right mm-hmm. now. Just for,
yeah.
That's how life is right now.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, I was dealing with all that last week and it's finally like now I'm still pretty red, man. Like you can see the top of my chest there. Like it's still pretty roasted.
Yeah.
But
what happened with the peeling? It never happened?
Oh no, it happened. Yeah.
While you're on video, I guess. For on school? Video? While you're working?
Oh no. I mean it started happening actually like the last day or two. Especially yesterday.
You look beautiful today, dude.
Yeah, I'm pretty bronze now. I got the tan going a little bit. So
he stepped in here and he was like, we look a little darker on screen.
It looks like I've been doing some manual labor outside.
It does.
Yeah. But yeah, so hopefully I'll be a little more with it this episode. And, you know, I was trying to play some video games this week, but I was just so hooked on The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past.
That's a video game, dude.
Yeah, it's a video game, but it's you know, it's a little old. Did you know that game came out in 1991? I didn't know it was that old.
Long time ago. I remember a lot of lists coming out of mm-hmm. best game video game of all time.
For what? Super Nintendo or
no, just in general?
Okay.
And for a really long time, I would say 60% of the history of video games, it was that game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no slight. I'm not slighting you for once for playing an old game. If you're mm-hmm. playing the best goddamn game that's
it's
ever
been. Good game, man. And you were right, though. When I first started playing it, you had said, like, oh, this has got to be, you know, that's a really long game.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, I'm already through, like, the first three castles, whatever. But it is actually a pretty long game, man, because I've been playing it a good amount, and I am only... I'm on the fourth castle in the Dark World out of eight. So I got, you know, a couple more to go. And then I have like the final boss castle.
But each one gets longer as well, I guess.
Not just longer, but the one that I'm on now is really tricky. It's like a really good maze. And you really have to think. There's a lot of puzzles and strategy. They really work that in. It's very labyrinthian. Is that labyrinthian?
It is now, if it wasn't.
Yeah.
New skin, new words, dude.
Yep.
Wow.
Wow. Thank you, Owen Wilson. but, yeah, man, it's such a good game. The only problem I'm having with it is I'm playing it on an emulator. And, you know, I kind of feel bad using an emulator. I'm like, okay, piracy, sure. But it's like a 30-year-old game?
Yeah, what are you going to do, dude? Buy an old fucking, go to a retro video game market?
Well, I would like to play it on an actual Super Nintendo because there is a lot of lag on an emulator. I've got the 8-bit-o controller, Super Nintendo. So it feels just like a real Super Nintendo controller. And it's a Bluetooth one, but it's a little laggy with that, so I hook it up through USB, but it feels like I'm playing the game, but when I've noticed a lot of enemies pop on screen, there's kind of a lag or a delay, like then it starts to really slow down.
Well,
I remember that happening on
I was gonna say maybe that's, you know, built into the code.
No, I for sure remember that happening. Even like Nintendo games would do that, like they
stutter.
Yeah, and that's part of like what they use in speed runs and stuff as well, is like when the frames start to slow down like that. And what's funny is I played this game so much as a kid, so I know the parts when that happens. But for some reason on the emulator, it seems like it's even
harder.
Yeah, it slows down even more. What we're seeing on screen is actually one of the parts where this happens. A bunch of boulders are falling down from this mountain that you have to climb up, and this is one of the parts where it lags quite a bit. And I don't know, it just seems like it happens more on the emulator, or maybe it's just been a long time. I'm not sure.
Why is he pink? Why does he have pink hair? And I don't remember this.
He might have he's got blue armor instead of the green one, so it might be an upgraded, like the level 2 armor. I haven't got that yet, or I don't know, maybe he just changed it. Also, with these emulators, you can change the way it shows it, so it can be more pixelated, or they can try to, like, add some anti-aliasing to smooth out the edges.
Yeah.
And I like the anti-aliasing that it adds, like, it doesn't look like it used to, like I remember it, but I'm okay with that. I think it actually looks pretty good. But the problem is anytime it shows text, it totally messes that up.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Can't get one without the other.
Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of like going back and forth between the two. And finally, I just set it back to like what's pretty much the standard. You know, what I really want to do is go back and play the original Nintendo Zelda. But I know I'm going to do that one and just be like, nah. Because that's some true nostalgia right there.
So, I mean, I don't know how much you really want to do this. But you can buy that mini Super Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
and it comes with Legend of Zelda.
I would be interested to see
I believe how it's $40.
Are you talking about the Nintendo, not the Super Nintendo?
The Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay.
They have a mini of both. They have a Genesis now, too.
That might be worth it because, honestly, I feel like the Super Nintendo, and this is completely biased, but I feel like the Super Nintendo was the best system out there. Now, I stopped playing console around, like, Dreamcast, right. And I didn't even play my Dreamcast that much. So, you know, obviously, I'm totally biased here and not giving you a full informed opinion, but... Yeah, dude, Super Nintendo was it for me.
We just lost 47 subscribers because of that statement.
Oh, no. They feel me on that one. Everybody knows Super Nintendo was the...
I don't know, man. PlayStation 2 was pretty great. But then yeah. That's where I left off. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the last one...
It had Guitar Hero. Yeah. It had...
What are the chances that the last one that we played is the one that was the best one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just got a lot of nostalgia for... the Super Nintendo, and I wouldn't mind. I may even have one in my parents' garage. Like that's not very unlikely. Like it could still be sitting there.
Yeah, Kurt the Ape says it was a big jump from the original Nintendo, which was and you don't see that kind of stuff anymore.
Well, what's crazy, and especially when I was playing this, and I found out it came out at 1991, Legend of Zelda, but. There was an overlap between Nintendo and Super Nintendo. Like Kirby's Avalanche, Kirby's Adventure, which we were talking about a week or two ago.
Came out afterwards?
Yeah, I want to say that came out in like 94 for the Nintendo. That was like really late in its life cycle. And like they were still making games, really good games for the Nintendo while the Super Nintendo was out.
Yeah. You know?
And I mean, obviously.
That happened with the Wii and the Wii U. Well, they waited, it was like a month or whatever, but a lot of Wii U games jumped to the Nintendo, the Switch, sorry. It jumped to the Switch because the games hadn't complete their life cycle. So Mario Kart and Zelda jumped over to the new generation. They just upped the graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't really want you to play Wind Walker now,
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take my Nintendo, dude. I don't never use it.
Your Switch?
My Switch, yeah.
Yeah, I'd borrow that. I'd check out that game.
It goes weeks without being touched. And you can play some
Mila's not going to be upset about that?
No.
Oh, she has her own, right? Yeah. Okay.
And then you can take the Pro Controller as well. It's kind of a must at this point.
And that's totally what I feel like, too. Like, you can't... I figure if you buy a Switch, you're also buying a new controller.
You have to.
Because those little controllers are pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, even when you play it in the way that it's intended to.
Like a Game Gear, like a handheld.
Well, you're supposed to have one of those tiny controllers in each hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes one full controller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a thing where you can lock them together, right?
Yeah, but you don't even need to. Like, you're supposed to, like, play like this.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you at any distance. And then they have gyroscopic powers, detection or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, like,
so they can tell when you're waving them around. It's
exactly. Yeah. So that was the whole idea. Mm-hmm. And so, we should try. Yeah, take it today.
All right. Yeah. You know, last week, too, and amidst all the craziness during the last podcast, we forgot to shout out subscribers and subscriptions.
There was lack of craziness is the problem.
Yeah.
The lack of everything last week.
It felt crazy to me. But let's see. We had JD Constriction subscribing for 19 months in a row. 19 months, man.
By the way, check out JDConstriction.com. Right? Is it?
JDConstriction.com? I think so. We'll see if it's...
What the fuck is it? God damn it. Yeah, JDConstriction.com. He has badass ball pythons. You ever think about buying... Even if you have never thought about buying a snake, go check out his shit because it's like shit you've never seen before. And it's... I don't know what you call it. Baby season? Like he's posting constant pictures of babies being born. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, those are cool. What do they call those? Exanthic?
Exanthic. I was like, dude, who are you up against? Who's the other big baller? Yeah, who's the other big baller in the Exanthic? He's like, you're talking to him. Like, he's the man when it comes to Exanthics.
He's cornered the market.
Yeah.
My sister had two ball pythons for a while, and their names were Lucille Ball and Monty Python.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
I just read a story where a female at the Chicago Zoo, female ball python, had not been around a male for over 20 years and just got pregnant. Mm-hmm. It's called like some sort of, God, I forgot the name of it, but he said that it's happened to him too. Mm-hmm. They can kind of put the sperm in stasis until they want to do the feeling.
Dude, reptiles
randy one night.
Are crazy. The, one of the science teachers that I work with, she
life
had,
will find a way.
Yeah, life does find a way. One of the science teachers that I work with, it wasn't snakes. It was, got a gecko. I can't remember what it was. Some reptile, but never, ever in its life. But she, it was born in captivity. Never in its life been around a male laid eggs, but the eggs were empty. Just laid empty eggs. And she's like, oh yeah, they do that. I'm like, weird, man. Reptiles are so weird.
I think some species out there, not particularly reptiles, but some things can kind of bang themselves and get themselves pregnant, but I don't know what it is, like jellyfish or something.
Hmm. But, okay.
Yep.
Also, last week, M. Pilaf gifted a sub to, to Sniper. Yeah, that's right. So, thank you, M. Pilaf, always with the gifting subs, and he gifted one today. I think the lucky recipient of that was Pandemic Vapor.
Sniper went out to the first corner he saw and sold that thing for some crack. At least he didn't have to suck dick for one day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then... Oh, my God. Wow. A little late. Oh, boy. And then Jeff coming in with the 10-month subscription. Thank you very much. All right. And then, of course, Recycled. You heard that ding earlier.
Yeah.
Donated 100 bits.
Thanks, homie.
Yep. Forgot to turn the audio off on that.
This is the clunkiest thank you segment we've ever had.
Well, we're going down a list. That's what it's like.
That's why we said around here, no more lists.
No more lists.
Now, what's next?
We're the no list. We're the no list podcast. So the other game that I tried to play this week was The Escapist 2. So this is something that I picked up on. I picked it up for free from Epic Games. I'm really going down the Epic Games freebie list right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, these are pretty good games. I've never played them. And I remember The Escapist 1 coming out and, you know, people saying positive things about it. And then the second one came out and same thing. People were like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good. And I kind of knew what it was about.
Right now.
Yeah, yeah, really good reviews. And I didn't click right away with it because it really kind of, it does have like a tutorial, but it really does kind of drop you in and let you figure things out for yourself. You are a prisoner in a prison. And it's pretty much like a sim game where you control one character. You have to make sure that you show up for roll call. Otherwise, the prison guards will come after you. You got to make sure that you report to duties and do everything that you're supposed to be doing. But in the meantime, you are talking to other inmates. You're wheeling and dealing, getting tools, maybe going through their stuff when they're out, secretly carving a hole through the floor, through the wall, getting into other rooms, you know, doing whatever you can to eventually escape. And you're really crafting your own narrative with it. So it's a really cool idea.
Like, yeah, for sure.
I liked...
And there's no one way to do it.
No, no, that's the whole thing. It's like, here's the prison, here's a sandbox. You figure out how you're going to get out
of it. And it's randomly generated.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, well, no, it's not randomly generated. They have maps, but they always add more maps. And some of them are more difficult than others.
Okay.
And it's... It's challenging.
That sounds pretty fucking sweet, man.
Yeah, it takes time, so you gotta be pretty patient. All right.
Our AI has some bugs in it.
Yeah, it's dude, Steam is messed up, though. They always try to, like, play the audio whenever you play a... whenever you go to a new page, it automatically tries to play the audio, and then if you try to turn it off for some... I don't know. I don't know how to set that just to always be off.
Well, mine is always off, and I wish it wasn't. So maybe we... And I've never set it to that. Mine always defaults to mute.
Hmm.
Always. I always have to turn up the
When you're volume. Using the browser or when you're using Steam, the application?
Oh, when I'm using Steam. Yeah.
Okay.
The application.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. I mean, I like this game, but I don't know. It's hard for me to really get into it right off the bat.
Because really seems like your shit, dude, the way you're explaining it.
Well, I think my problem was I was expecting a little more of a tutorial. It does give you that initial tutorial where it's kind of cool. Like a guy is retelling his story about how he escaped.
That's cool.
And he's narrating it. So you just look at the narration and then you do whatever he says in the narration. He kind of kills the mood by saying, and then I pressed B to dig through this wall. I'm like, okay. So it kind of kills that, breaks the fourth wall a little bit. But but they run you through that. So you kind of understand like, okay, this is the concept of the game, but then they just throw you in a prison. I started off at an easy one and I was a little overwhelmed. I was just like, okay, I guess I'll just start crafting like little pickaxes so I can dig into this maintenance room. And it's a slow process. Like you got to be patient. But
like you could only dig at night or whatever.
Yeah, because you're constantly having to show up, you know, to for lunch or for breakfast, dinner, roll call, shower.
The shit happens. Obviously, all that stuff is supposed to be mundane, but do random events happen in those things?
Like, oh, yeah, like anything can happen. Yeah, fights break out all the time. People get randomly selected for cell searches. So if you happen to be one of those people, then it's like, uh-oh, got to get the stuff out of there.
Yeah.
And I got to hide that. You can do quests for other inmates that gets you stuff. And there's also a system where you build reputation with people. So there's a lot to this game. It's pretty cool. And, you know, Epic was giving it away for free. So hopefully everyone picked it up then.
Cool. I played very little video games this week. I finished Mortal Kombat 11, the DLC, which is called Aftermath. Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like I was saying, full of tropes. The ending, I mean, the DLC, you're playing as the bad guys almost the entire way through, and then spoiler, one of the good guys comes in at the very end and wins the whole thing. So yeah, story wise, all that stuff, it's just like, it looks great. The action sequences are good, but you're not. I think with Injustice, you were there for the story.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that you're here for the story on this, but it has so much. Like the very first thing that I started diving into, like, okay, I beat the game. What am I going to do? And so there's, so if you click on training or like tutorial or whatever, there's four things in there. It's not just training mode like every other game. One is like training, where you go in and you try to do combo. Then there's the combo trainer. Then there's the something else. And then there's the fatality trainer. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, fatality trainer. Mm-hmm. So I started doing the fatality. And I was like, I was really thinking I was going to learn every fatality for every character and watch them. Because I really, watching them on YouTube does not do them justice. Watching them on your screen first person is fucking awesome. Not first person, but like,
you know. But I mean, it looks the same. Is it just the fact that you did it?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. And it's a lot more like zoomed in or whatever. I've never played a game with the characters this big on screen. They're huge. It's zoomed in so much further than like a Street Fighter game or whatever. The characters are giant. It's like the difference between a regular G.I. Joe and those old like 50s ones that are mm-hmm. gigantic.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you're playing with these like action heroes or like action figurines or whatever. Anyway, but they only show you one per character, but it is pretty cool. I wish there was more. Like, what do they want you to do here? They want you to go to the fucking the internet and look them up, and that's how you're going to do it, I guess. Like old school days, I guess that's what they wanted you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Which is kind of cool in a way because, you know, it goes back to super old video game stuff, like looking stuff up and how to do it. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be going and figuring out all the fucking the fatalities because a lot of them are fucking awesome, man.
They get pretty creative.
Pull up, nice, dude. Pull up Jack's fatality. Bomb fatality? I don't know. But... Go ahead,
Bobby. Isn't Jax with an X?
Yeah, Jax is with an X. Who are you? Fucking Canadians, dude. Jeez.
Let's see. Kurt is mentioning Pit Fighter. I remember that game. Whenever I think of Pit Fighter, that wasn't a very good fighting game, but I always felt like it was. I was always excited when that was in the arcade. And I remember one time at a roller skate rink, I was playing that, and some kid came up, put a quarter in, and I beat him the first round, and he got so mad. And his friend was watching him, and he was like, he must have been embarrassed. He's like, all right, fine, that's it, watch this, I'm going to kick his ass. And then he button mashed. He was just like that. And
he won?
Yeah, and he won. Oh, I was like, oh, dude.
That's a very poor game. That one. I really like that last one. Did you see it?
Yeah.
He puts an explosive on their back, and they fly towards him, and he punches them in half. It's fucking great.
Wow.
Anyways. Yeah, that chick's an insect.
All right. I'm being told our stream that there's a little bit of a delay. I think there's always a delay. It's just now the camera's zoomed in a little bit more so you can actually notice it. Because there's a delay when I look at the monitor here. I can kind of see a little bit of a delay. I wonder if that's what they're seeing as well.
We would always call those kids toasters on Street Fighter 2. If somebody was just a button masher.
Button masher.
Yeah, we just call them a toaster because it's just like they're just smashing it with the toaster and whatever would happen. It's just totally random.
Well,
and they would win sometimes.
Yeah, it was unfortunately really effective in some of those old games.
Yeah.
But in one of the Mortal Kombat games, if you did like really cheesy moves, that little head would pop up to the side and go, Toasty.
Toasty.
Yeah, Toasty. There it is. There's the guy in the purple shirt there. Yeah. Well, not that toaster. Yeah, that dude in the purple shirt popping up, calling you out.
I guess our AI doesn't have that audio. That would have been a great time for an audio clip.
All right, let's see. I'm going to clap so people can see if we're in sync. Actually, I should do it like that. Yeah, it's totally
close.
Yeah. Or we can just cover our mouths and people won't really know.
There you go.
Oh, boy. So I did... I edited a lot this week. I'm like super far ahead in all my classes, which is nice, but like at the same time, it's so at the beginning of the year, the teacher said, like, I'm going to grade you based on your ability. So if you are more advanced than other students, then you will probably get graded a little bit harder, I suppose, is the logic there. Because the idea is that he wants everyone to be putting in a lot of effort, you know. So that way he's not, you know, I'm taking an editing class, and I've been editing for like 10 years. So obviously I'm going to have a pretty easy time with it. But if I just phone it in and like turn in work that someone who is brand new to editing, you know, would be proud of, then that's, you know, I'm not really getting anything out of the class. So I guess that's the idea. So, I mean, I guess I wasn't surprised because I got 4 out of 5 on my first assignment. And I was still a little like, really, dude? Okay. But that's all right. I'm interested to see what I get on my next assignment, though, because I feel like I did a pretty good job with this one. We'll see, but I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
It's going to be 19 out of 20. I just know it. I'll be okay with that, though. But the cool thing is, like, the way that I'm challenging myself...
Your ego shook a little bit, Bobby, on that 4 out of 5?
No, I totally expected. Honestly, it was an audio-only assignment. Like, it was a real beginner assignment.
Would you have gotten 5 years of audio experience?
Well, this was actually for the documentary class. So, it was tell a story in, like, 2 minutes.
Okay.
Of, you know, anything, really. Yeah. So,
what'd you choose?
I told the story of my first experience in a movie theater, at least the one that I remember, which I think I've told on the podcast before. It was when I was 6, and my brother was going on a date with this girl up the street, and for some reason, my mom made them drag me along. Like, I don't know why. She was probably trying to get rid of me. It was summer, because the movie was Batman.
No, dude, it's because there's no way your brother's going to get blown while you're sitting right there. There's no way.
I don't know if that was the concern, but because it was,
I'm concerned right now.
It was Batman in 1989 and we got there, places packed.
I bet.
Yeah. Just completely packed. And there's only seats in the very front row. So we had to sit all the way up in the front row. And I don't know when the last time you've seen like the 1989 Batman, but like for a 6-year-old, like that's the one where like famously Batman kills like a bunch of people, like in the Tim Burton Batmans. Tim Burton didn't really understand Batman. Like apparently his whole thing is like, he doesn't kill people, but Tim Burton Batman's like, yeah, dude, he murders like a ton of people. And then Joker, like gets his face boiled off, and Jack Nicholson, like there's that surgery scene where he's unwrapping the gauze and it's all bloody. He asks for the mirror. Like it's just, it's intense.
It was a lot. For a 6-year-old.
Yeah, it was intense. And plus, like, I'm sitting in the front row. This movie's literally everywhere around me, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that was the story I told for my project. 4 out of 5. And the commentary was
in all
like,
honesty, it's a shitty story. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you know, I like this. I punched it up, man. Maybe I should have brought the audio here. I could have played it for you guys. It's only 2 minutes long. But, you know, I really punched it up. You know, I got into detail, used a lot of imagery, you know, and that's what he wrote in the notes, you know, great work, blah, blah, blah. This was really good. 4 stars, 4 out of 5. So, you know, whatever.
I'll never forget one of my Yelp reviews for my company, dude. Fantastic guys. Great dudes. four out of five. Like, what else? What do you want from
literally
me?
Could not be better. Four out of five stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, the other projects, so I'm taking the editing class and a documentary filmmaking class. Really liking the documentary filmmaking class, by the way. Like, I kind of thought, like, you know, I've already watched a lot of documentaries. I know a lot of stuff, but I feel like I am learning a lot here. And the conversations are good in class, too, so I really enjoy it. But I finished my second assignment for that. We'll see what I get for it. But I've been challenging myself, and I'm forcing myself to use Adobe Premiere Pro, and I have always used Final Cut. I've used Premiere Pro in the past, like on a few projects here and there.
What do the nerds say? Like, what do people say? I think most creatives go with the Apple suite, right?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like, Adobe is the industry standard. That's what Hollywood uses. I mean, TV probably. I think they use Avid a lot still, but. Yeah, I don't know about Hollywood. Maybe they got some new, like, cool special system there that they
maybe they got use. These new red pennies. Like, I haven't even thought about this.
Yeah, maybe they got something that will totally blow your mind. But pretty much everyone uses Premiere. Like, that's the way to go with it. And there's so many resources out there. And it's a great system, too. That's actually what I use to edit the episodes that I post on YouTube every week. Although it's very little editing. You know, right. It's hardly any editing. But I really wanted to challenge myself and, like, learn this system. And I felt like I just had a breakthrough with it. Like, the project that I did, I think it was from being so familiar with Final Cut Pro. Like, I was just like, I know what I need to do. I just need to know what it is. So it was a lot of Googling, you know, where's the stabilizer in this? How do I, you know, unlink these? You know, they call compound clips nesting in Premiere Pro. So I just had to, like, figure that out. How do I paste attributes?
Like learning a new language, mm-hmm. or at least a new dialect.
The keyboard shortcuts, too, is a huge part of editing because you get so much faster. And it got to the point where, like, so my documentary class, like, I'm editing that with Final Cut Pro because I'm just like, that's more about, like, the story and whatever. And, like, I need to be quick and knock that out. But the editing class, I'm sticking with Premiere Pro. But I had done one project.
Are you starting to like it more?
Oh, yeah. I like how they do keyframing a lot more in that. And I don't know. There's a few, like, technical things that I think are a lot better in Premiere.
No, I do keyframing all the time.
But, I worked so long on this project that the keyboard shortcuts were kind of embedded in my head. And then when I went back to Final Cut, I found myself using those same keyboard shortcuts by mistake. And, so that's the sign that you really got something down is when, you know, the keyboard shortcuts are instinctive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was really cool, man. Like, I feel like I'm getting something out of the editing class, even though it's probably a little bit below my skill level, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, four out of five.
Yeah, four out of five. But, I mean, in addition to working on this, so I've been totally engrossed in documentaries right now. That's all I've been watching.
Yeah.
If you look me up on Letterboxd, like, it's all, like, documentaries for the last week or two. And the last couple ones, I mean, I watched a bunch, but...
I watched one, too, so... That's good.
I'll mention the good ones here. So I'm catching up on some that I totally missed. Like I talked about Bowling for Columbine last week, but Super Size Me.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Never saw it either.
Yeah.
You know about it, but yeah, it's one of those things you never got around to seeing.
And here's the thing. You don't really need to see it.
Yeah. It's all there. You know what it's about.
It's like, hey, fast food's bad.
Yeah.
Guess what?
But the only thing is, like, I've heard, you know, there's been accusations that it was sensationalized and they, you know.
Oh, it's true. It totally
made
was.
Look worse than it was.
Well, yeah, dude. It's
only 30 days, I mean, right?
Okay, he's got my review up here. Questionable research that proves a point everyone already knows.
Only 30 days, right?
It was 30 days. He only ate McDonald's. He didn't have, like, any, and he didn't, like, walk over a certain amount of steps. He didn't take, like, any multivitamins. Like, yeah, dude, it's not, like, really good research.
Right.
It's not, like, scientific by any means. It's pretty sensationalized. But, you know, like, I think the good thing about it is a lot of people paid attention to that. It really speaks to the common man, you know. So I think a lot of people paid attention to that. And I remember everyone talking about how, like, unhealthy fast food was when that came out. And it's just like, yeah, no shit, but yeah, at least everyone's talking about it. I mean, me personally, I don't think I've had McDonald's in 14 years. It's been a long time. Yeah, I don't eat fast food. So, yeah, it's the last time I went to McDonald's, I remember I was going with a friend to me, him, and his dad were going to go flying out of Gillespie Field, one of the smaller airports around here. And we went through the drive-thru. His dad was driving, went through the drive-thru, and he got, like I don't know, breakfast sandwiches for everybody because it was the morning. And, like, I had an Egg McMuffin. And that was the last time.
So good, dude.
I used to love Big Macs when I was younger, but,
no, yeah, Egg McMuffin's where it's at, dude.
Egg McMuffin's really...
So good. If you order one Egg McMuffin on its own, it's, like, almost $5. Mm-hmm. But everything else is $2 on the menu.
Well, you know what? I must have had... I have had McDonald's since then. Yeah, because, okay, maybe this is probably like 2008 or 9.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was like, hey, what's the thing that they bring in sometimes, but it's not around all the time?
Oh, the McRib.
The McRib.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, McRib's in town. We should go get one. And I'm like, never had one. Let's check it out. And it was so bad. I didn't even finish it. I was like, this is terrible, dude. This
McRib, is so... 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5 stars. So maybe that was the last time I had McDonald's. I don't know, man. But where I live looks down over McDonald's, and I look at it all the time, and that drive-thru is always packed.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Always. They have two drive-thrus. Yeah. Always packed.
Yeah, they split. Most of them split, dude. Mm-hmm. It's just, what is the one? Is it the McGriddle? Yeah, that's the one. Dude, let me explain to you a little.
Yeah, enlighten me on fast food, because I don't know anything.
Magic. Okay, so a McGriddle is two pancakes as the bun
mm-hmm.
for your breakfast sandwich, right? That wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to have pancakes for your bread. That was not enough. We got to go next level. Let's infuse said pancakes with its own syrup. On the inside, dude, like a fucking fruit gusher, but a breakfast fruit gusher. This is why I'm 40 pounds overweight, dude. So
what's that thing they got at KFC, the famous bowl, where it's just like literally everything on the menu? Like
I've never heard of that.
I think it's called the famous bowl. They pretty much take everything on the menu and they throw it in like one little thing, and you just lap it up with a spoon.
Now,
man, fast food's so gross, man. Like, it's so gnarly.
Now, I was a little misspoken when I said it's like a fruit gusher. That makes you think that there's one ball of jelly in the middle. Mm-hmm. Somehow they've distributed it.
It's evenly distributed.
Yeah, like little globules of syrup throughout both pancakes. Then in the middle, you have, you know, your egg, cheese, bacon, yeah, whatever. And it is fucking fantastic.
Is McDonald's your favorite fast food?
No, I hate McDonald's other than the breakfast. The breakfast is fantastic.
Okay.
I don't like anything else on their menu.
I mean, it's not like... I go to In-N-Out. I don't get the burgers, though. I get the grilled cheese. But, I mean, that's kind of fast food, but they're a little more on the healthy side. Like, you could tell their fries don't taste nearly as good. You know,
they're cooked
in vegetable oil or something.
Yeah.
But I also go to like a lot of, well, I used to, not really anymore, but I used to get burritos, you know, nachos. I go to these taco shops all the time. That's not like super healthy, but you know, that's like meat. You know, they're like cooking that shit up.
It's real meat.
It's not, they didn't like bust that out of the freezer.
There's no pink goo or whatever that was. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit better. There used to be this place down where I grew up in El Cajon called El Barrilito. And it was shaped like a barrel, and it was like striped like yellow and orange, you know, just Mexican as fuck.
Dude, that's how the houses look if you go down there.
And it was $5 for like a carne asada burrito, and I used to get those all the time. Yeah, but I don't know. So what's your fast food of choice?
Jack in a Box, man. It's just,
yeah, okay,
Jack in a Box. The amount of options that they have, it's so long. Whatever you want, they got you covered. The minute shit. It changes all the time, but for breakfast, their loaded breakfast sandwich plus jalapenos is a dream come true. It fills your belly and it wakes you up because of the jalapenos. You're like, jalapenos, okay, let's go.
I used to get a lot of Jack in the Box, the jalapeno poppers.
Yep.
They used to have these like $2 cheeseburgers. Yeah. Yeah. Jack in the Box was good.
And then
they were always open.
Yeah.
Although, isn't fast food open all the time anyway now?
A lot of them are, 24 hours because they don't have inside service. So they make all their money from the drive-thru.
Yeah.
But the sriracha burger for lunch is fantastic as well.
Mics are getting fuzzy. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm hearing some background noise as well. Sorry, guys. It's our first podcast. I'm trying to get all this done. I don't know where that's coming from.
I don't hear anything. That's odd.
I hear it.
Oh, something just connected. It's all good? Okay, cool.
I hear it.
Muted? Now you can't hear us at all?
There you go.
There you go.
If they like it,
we're getting mixed messages, guys. Come on. Let's get a consensus.
If they like it, it's cool. But I hear buzzing in my headphones.
Okay. They're saying that they can't hear us. Well, that's not good.
Yeah, that sounds good, Simon.
All right. Checkity check. 1, 2. How about that?
We're going to have to edit this episode.
No, this is all magic, man. People love this behind-the-scenes stuff.
I'm going to take... No, we got to edit this anyway. I'm going to go grab a drink.
And we're back. What were we talking about? Fast food?
Yeah, and I want to interject a little bit here. We got a air fryer, I think it's called. Is that
a deep fryer?
No, air fryer. Yeah.
Okay.
So it fries with hot air and light, I guess. Yeah, so... It is the most amazing thing. Dude, I can't believe I went 42 years without knowing this thing. So it fries with just crisping up the air, I guess. So you get crispy things without dipping them in oil. Do you know what I'm saying?
Seems healthier.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Dude, like you spray a little bit of...
It's like a toaster, basically?
Yeah, but like a super intense one, I guess.
Okay.
So mozzarella sticks came out tasting better. Dino Bites, which are like little chicken
yeah, like nuggets. Chicken McNuggets. Yeah.
Taste way better. And they're done quicker. They're not soggy. They're crispy. We're cooking fish. We're cooking everything in the air fryer now. And yeah, it's way healthier, dude. You only spritz a little bit of oil, like a tiny bit, not like deep frying anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't know I was missing out on this. It's like when I realized about slow cookers. That's how revolutionary this is in my life now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know. Here's my final thought on fast food. I know like people think it tastes good, but if you spend enough time off of it, you don't really crave it and it doesn't really have that allure.
You're like, insane.
No, I'm serious, dude. I have no desire to eat fast food.
No, I see your point. But also, this is built from the ground up to only taste good and nothing else. So I believe it does really taste good.
Well,
it doesn't taste great.
Okay. In Trevor Noah's, I guess, autobiography, he talks about how, you know, growing up in South Africa, like one of the signs of being well off or, you know, like a little more well off than other people was being able to go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
And especially if you could get cheese on your burger. They called them like cheese boys, meaning you were like, oh, look at this rich guy, you know, who does he think this cheese boy? But he talks about how he'd go to McDonald's and he would get halfway through the meal and then it would just start tasting really gross to him. And of course he grew up in South Africa. So he was eating, like, he talked about some meal he ate was like, you know, a bunch of like animal guts and an eyeball, like basically like ate some pretty gnarly stuff.
And there's a little something to this too. I've always brought this up. This is one of my philosophies. As a Mexican, I have been asked a lot, where's a good Mexican restaurant? Mm-hmm. Where am I going to get, you know, like where, you know, what would you say is the best Mexican restaurant? And at the end of the day, I really do believe this. Mexican food is not expensive food. It's like, it's a poor country's food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the poor version of itself is almost always the best. So like taco shops is where the best Mexican food is. I really do believe that.
And yeah, no, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I've gone
to sit down Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. Like they have a mariachi.
I like the restaurant style sometimes.
No, for sure.
Big, enormous burritos with like the sauce all dripped over it. You know, like the beans and rice bleeding into each other. Yeah, I love that, man.
Yeah.
But no, I think you're right. And, you know, when people ask that about or ask me about that, I'm always like, here's my strategy. Like you find a good or you find a taco
find a
shop
place full of Mexicans.
No, you just find a taco shop near you and you just go in and you tip them a buck every time and you make sure they see it. And then after a while, they start hooking you up. The burritos start getting a little bit bigger. Sometimes they throw in a churro, you know? Like, you got to build a rapport.
I just got a shrimp in my bean and cheese burrito.
It works, man. It works.
You found it on the floor, senor.
But yeah, I mean, you do want to find, like, you could tell a good taco shop, like, you come in, they're doing some drywall or something, they got a little homie's vending machine in the corner, like, that's a good taco shop.
Mexican soap operas are on the TV, that's always a good one. They don't give a fuck about like, the people in there's entertainment. It's like, they're trying to be entertained.
Yeah. okay, so another documentary that I wanted to mention, just kind of a few, I guess, was I was watching the Errol Morris documentaries. This is like a famous...
I don't even know who that is.
A lot of people don't. He's a famous documentary filmmaker, and most people are familiar with The Thin Blue Line, which is one he made in like the late 80s. He made another one that was pretty big. His first one, Gates of Heaven, was pretty big. I have not seen that yet, but I did watch his other one, The Fog of War.
So it's a documentary about... A documentary.
No, I've just been watching his films.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. But, so I watched Thin Blue Line and Fog of War. Fog of War, you could probably skip. I mean, if you're really into, like, Bay of Pigs, and, you know, it interviews the Secretary of Defense, like, during Nixon and JFK and LBJ. But if you're into that, sure, check it out. It's great, man.
Let me cut in real quick.
Okay.
I get that you're on a documentary kick, but you're watching, like, really old stuff that's maybe changed by now?
No, I'm watching new stuff as well.
No, okay, but it's like none of this stuff is current. Maybe it was accurate at the time.
It's still really good. So, like, Fog of War was made in 2003.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's about, like, it's the guy who was the Secretary of Defense and, you know, also president of the Ford Company, had this really amazing life and was a key figure in, like, a lot of American conflicts. And he's, you know, basically, you know, like, talking about what happened during those times, and it's pretty incredible, but that one you could probably skip. The really good one was The Thin Blue Line, man. Like, a lot of these documentaries I'm watching, I'm like, yeah, they're pretty good, okay, cool. But The Thin Blue Line was the one where I was like, damn, that one was pretty
good. What's it about?
That was 4 out of 5 stars right there. Actually, no, I gave it 4.5 stars. It's a true crime documentary, which I'm totally not into, man. Like, I'm not into the true crime thing, but it's such an interesting story. And the way that Errol Morris makes documentaries is so boring, like, but somehow he makes them interesting. He does, like, a really standard sit down interview and then just throws. Well, no, he just interviews people. That's all he does, okay. Dude. He just interviews people, and he'll throw some B-roll on top of it. Thin Blue Line has a lot of reenactments, which at first I was like, this seems kind of cheesy, but, you know, like, eventually, like, the story just swept me up. It's a super interesting story. So he started doing a documentary about this guy called Dr. Death, mm-hmm. and it's like this doctor that examines prisoners and determines if they're able to be rehabilitated, and he never said they were able to be rehabilitated. So it's about this doctor who basically went to prisoners and said, nope, crazy, don't let him out of jail ever. And just like, and like, some people got sentenced to the death sentence. That was his intent, man. Yeah. But while doing this, he came across like some really interesting case that happened in Texas, like where a cop was shot, and he just ended up making the entire documentary about that.
That's exactly what happened in Icarus, dude. You mm-hmm. should watch it.
It's what happens in a lot of documentaries, is what I'm finding out.
Yeah.
I've seen Icarus, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, in Icarus, he starts it off about steroids mm-hmm. with himself. And like, basically, he's a cyclist enthusiast, the whole steroid things with cyclists. And then mm-hmm. he's like, let me see how much better I can make myself if I take a bunch of PEDs. But that led him down all the way down to finding out that Russia cheated the entire time in mm-hmm. the Sochi Olympics, and that's why they got all the gold medals. And a bunch of gold medals for your country brings up morale, which means you could start a war because you trust the president more because morale is up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cheating during games leads to countries being taken over. It's fucking insane, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a really good documentary. I think that won Best Doc in 2017.
I feel like a lot of it was luck, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, one of the things that we talked about in class is selection and arrangement, the two steps of making a documentary. Selection is finding a way up the hill of the story. But all these documentaries... The first one we had to watch in class was Harlan County, and the teacher was making a big deal about following the story, because that's what happened in Harlan County. They went to go make a documentary about something that was happening with, I can't remember what it was, something that was happening in like a court battle or something. And then they found out about this coal miner strike that was going on, and then they followed that story. And that became the whole documentary and won Best Doc whatever year that came out. Same thing with another documentary I watched last week, too, called Capturing the Freedmans. Another true crime doc, which pretty good, but a little slanted. But
it kind of makes sense, though. If cameras are around, and a filmmaker's around, crazy shit happens all the time. It's just not documented very often. You know what I mean? And yeah. So, like, if you're talking to this guy about his fucking rice fields, and some guy gets murdered over here, you're just going to turn the cameras over here, and now you got a new documentary.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what happened with The Act of Killing. I don't know if you ever saw that one. Probably not. I think that came out in, like, 2011. But they went to go interview farmers, and, like, I can't remember what the country was.
I did see it. It's Vietnam.
Oh, it's Vietnam?
Right?
Okay.
Where they were killing all the communists.
Yeah, they just, like, murdered off everyone and the people that did it.
And the guy was, like, explaining how he reenacted it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what happens with a lot of these. And, you know, there was this quote that we started with in class from Barbara Koppel, the person who directed and made Harlan County. She said, follow the story.
Yeah.
You know, like, if something more interesting is happening, just go with it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary because, like, what if it ends up being a dead end? You know, just to, like, release that power and just, like, go with the flow. That's, like...
And a lot of times, you're there because you're really interested in this thing. You know what I mean? Like, that guy was originally really interested in cycling because that's his passion. But somehow now it's an international scandal and he's got to save the Russian scientists like a goddamn video game, dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that was a crazy documentary. There's a really good movie. I didn't think I'd enjoy it this much, but it's interesting because it's like a fake documentary. It's called Bernie. It's got Jack Black in it. You probably know about it. You've probably, like, seen the cover art for it, but you probably never watched it. It's about, like, a real thing that happened, and it's like a feature film movie where Jack Black is playing the character, but then they go and interview people from this town, and they kind of retell, like, or they talk about the person, the main character.
Like super heavy dramatization.
Yeah, I guess it's like a re-dramatization, but it's actually a movie.
Weird.
And that's most of the movie. Most of the movie is actually, you know, Jack Black, like,
right.
Like doing that. And then they cut away to these people who are not actors, who are the actual people who, like, were in the area when all this stuff happened. And it was super entertaining, man. Who directed this? I can't remember. It was someone kind of famous. But it was good. Yeah, it's got Matthew McConaughey in it. Like, I totally did not expect to like this one. Richard Linklater. Yeah, like, you know, the guy who did Boyhood and that movie that was shot over the course of, like, a kid growing up.
13
like,
years, dude. If I remember right.
Yeah. He did, what was the one that people always talk about? Matthew McConaughey outside of a bowling alley. You know what I'm talking about?
No idea. On that one.
Yeah. Favorite mockumentary, Warconius is asking. This is Spinal Tap? Yeah, that's probably, the best
one. Never seen it.
I haven't watched it in forever. And when I did watch it, it was like on Comedy Central with commercials, probably parts cut out. So I really got to like watch that one again.
The Office, I guess. But not super into it. where are we at? So, speaking of documentaries, I watched The Last Dance. I watched it's a 10-part series about the Chicago Bulls during their fucking super crazy reign, right? And they're... when they were the fucking Chicago Bulls with Jordan. I mean, 80% of the content is about Jordan. And that in itself is really... dude, that guy he gets all the credit. And he deserves even more. Because he's a mega famous Michael Jackson level fame. But handled it. The only thing he did that was super crazy was he took a year off. And that was pretty much...
well, there was that time he tried to play baseball.
That was a year.
Oh, that was
because his dad was... oh, man, it's so
Yeah, his dad was a big... yeah, I saw Space Jam, dude. I know the story.
So, but also, like, he didn't want to win a championship without his dad there. And that showed the year that he came back after he went to go play baseball. Because they squashed the Utah Jazz, like, 3 games in a row. All they had to do was squash him one more time. And then they lost three in a row. So now it's a seven. It's 3-3 going into the seventh. And why is that? And like, basically everybody was saying the same thing. It's because his dad wasn't there to congratulate him for getting that next championship. And he won, you know, he pulled it together and he won. And he's in the locker room, hugging the trophy, crying into it like a baby, like a child in the fetal position, dude. Like the most famous person in the world at the time. And it's insane, writhing on the floor, crying, holding this championship thing, dude. It is so intense. This documentary is fantastic. I don't watch basketball. I don't give a fuck. Like, I get into things. I almost get into the things about things more than I do get into the thing. That happens a lot. Kind of like with Nick and the 40K stuff. Like, I don't want to play the game, but I like the things around the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I almost I enjoy the culture more than the thing.
Yeah.
That happens with rap with me. That happens with a lot of things. I don't know what it is about.
It's like people who watch Twitch but don't really play video games.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. Yeah. So anyway, fantastic documentary. I think the reviews stand on their own. You should check it out.
I've been hearing about it. And it wasn't really on my radar because, you know, I'm not that into basketball, but it does sound really good. I was listening to...
Well, the 30 for 30 series, have you... So that's a whole thing that ESPN...
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with that.
So 30 for 30 was originally... Or ESPN hit 30 years. And for that, they made 30 documentaries for the 30-year mark. And some of those have been some of the best documentaries ever made outside of sports, though. I don't even watch sports. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of good stuff there.
I feel like sports is always a good story, though.
A lot of times, but, you know, it's not always a happy story.
I don't know, dude. It's conflict, dude. That's all sport is. It's conflict. It's very binary, too. It's like one person or one team versus another. You know, it's always, it like cuts right to the chase of it.
They can't get go into this whole thing about, like, that Mike was an asshole, and he pushed his teammates so hard. Mm. And they confront him with this, you know, what people were saying. Like, hey, you push your guys too hard, you're mean, you're an asshole. And he starts crying because he feels bad for doing it, but also doesn't repent because he's like, that's what needed to be done for us to be the way we were. And you it just a lot of things like life lessons sink in when you watch this thing. It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible.
Charles Barkley was on Conan's podcast, and he was talking about how Michael Jordan never tipped or didn't tip very well.
He also says, Barkley says, it's the first time I was playing basketball versus another human being, and I said, this person's clearly better at this game than I am. That's crazy, dude.
Wow. I don't know if you're excited for the new Dune movie coming out. Did you watch the trailer?
I watched it before the show, dude. Or right before the show, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I thought, well, you're fucking... The thing you posted ruined the trailers for me forever.
Yeah. Okay, so we're referring to... Oh, God, it's in Discord. It's under the movies section, but it's called, like, How to Make a Blockbuster Trailer. And it's basically just... titles and sounds, and it's the formula for making a blockbuster trailer.
Right.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it when you watch any movie trailer now because it's so true.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you know what? I was kind of poking fun at this and, you know, telling people not to get too hyped for it, but I am excited for it. Like, I really, after reading the book especially, I really like David Lynch's Dune. I liked it all the time. You know, my mom used to watch it when I was a kid, and it was just weird, and I was always fascinated by it. So I've always liked that movie, even though, like, everyone's always kind of panned it. But I'm, like, totally ready for another Dune movie, you know, new state-of-the-art CGI and some great big actors in it. Like, it's going to be great. What's so weird, like... So Dune is kind of notorious for being difficult to translate into a movie. So everyone's kind of wondering, can he do it this time? You know, is this going to be good?
And like, who is it?
The director?
Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve. I don't know. He's a French-Canadian guy.
Okay. Villeneuve. Do you know his work?
Yeah, he did Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, yeah. I think that's
Fit. This guy can for sure handle it. But like the content.
He brought that guy back.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people in this.
Who's the wrestler guy?
Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used them in 2049 as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the first thing that was striking to me was the age of the main dude. And I think
in the book, he's that young. He's supposed to be like 15 years old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But also,
the movie
is that good for like? Okay, so how many books is it? Just one book? I have no idea.
I think there might be more books. I only read the first one.
Is this going to be a? Because I was at first thinking you pick really young people so that you could do like
you could do a series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they will. But the first book is actually a lot, and even David Lynch's Dune had to cut some parts out, like the gladiatorial fight is like a great scene. It's in the TV show Dune, and it looks terrible because it's like a low budget sci-fi channel thing. But it's also great in the book. But then when a lot of times when you bring this stuff and actually turn it into
a lot
reality,
of books, dude.
Yeah, there are a lot of books. When you turn it into a reality, then it sometimes it doesn't quite hit. But this looks like it's going to be really good. It's funny because they're going through all the same beats that the David Lynch one does, and for some reason people just do not like that.
Well, so on Reddit, you know, the Lord of the Rings guy, it's funny when you watch you look at the top page of Reddit, because certain subreddits come up towards the top a lot of times, like prequel memes, very high. That's like all the Star Wars prequels.
Mm-hmm.
It always ranks like in the top 20. Somehow it's all like news and like crazy shit that happened, and somehow prequel memes does something funny. But anyway, another one that does well from time to time is Lord of the Rings subreddit. They just post so much that things come up. Anyway, so one of them that was on the main page was, at some point somebody's going to remake the Lord of the Rings and we're all going to hate it. But at a certain point it needs to be done. It's a story that needs to be retold under the new technology.
I don't know, man. Like the first Lord of the Rings, like that was pretty landmark CGI with Gollum.
Dude, I'm watching it right now.
Yeah, we'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think it still holds up. I don't know if
watched it and I was like,
I don't know if we need to
redo
that.
This is starting to get aged. I'm not saying now. the post was at some point.
Yeah, well, regardless of whether or not we need it, if they think they can make money off of it, they're going to do it.
Right.
Like, you know, it was in the news too. They're offering Joaquin Phoenix like $50 million to do another two Joker movies, even though he said he wouldn't make another one. Like, if you can make money off something,
he's motivated by money.
No, I don't think so. And I don't know if he's got it in him, man. Like, I don't know if he wants to go through that again. But
I don't even want to watch that movie again. I think
it's not
going to
be as good as the first. So it's like,
yeah. And I don't even want to watch it. It's too emotionally taxing.
But that's usually what happens, though. Like, no matter what, if a movie makes enough money, you always make a sequel. It doesn't matter if that sequel's even very good. Yeah. It doesn't have to be very good. People are going to go see it. And they're going to be like, oh, terrible. Too late, dude. They already got your money.
I had to explain that the other day about mansplain that about Karate Kid sequels. They're like, didn't they make sequels? And I was, yeah, they're known as some of the worst sequels.
Yeah, there were some all right ones. I thought the Jaden Smith one was okay.
Oh, that was good. That's different, though.
There's that one with the girl. That one still had Miyagi in it.
Is this the TV show or the movie?
No, this is the David Lynch movie that we're seeing on screen right now. Patrick Stewart is in that movie, and, you know, he's being Patrick Stewart.
Before he was Sir.
Yeah, but he still didn't have hair back in the 80s, man. But you know what? With the Dune trailer coming out, everyone's getting excited, but there's a possibility it might be pushed back. So, you know, Tenet came out. It did all right, like, worldwide, like, considering the situation.
Yeah.
Didn't
20
do,
million, I think?
20 domestic.
Okay.
But I think it's up to, like, 200 million worldwide.
Oh, nice.
Worldwide right now. But, I mean, given the situation, yeah, that's okay. But
have you seen it?
No, not yet.
Okay.
But I don't know if, like, as soon as, like, a week after it came out, or maybe 2 weeks after, Warner Bros. Pushed back Wonder Woman 84. You know, that new Wonder Woman movie coming out. So I think they're like, oh, God, that's what Tenet did? Ooh, all right, let's wait a little while before we release a movie, because we're going to need a little bit more than that. So there's a possibility, I guess, that Dune might be pushed back. I don't know. I'd be bummed if it did. It's supposed to come out, I think, third week in December.
And I feel like on movies, it's almost the opposite of games. When games are pushed back, they're almost always, not always, but it feels like they get better with the more delays.
Well, these movies are already done, dude. James Bond is done. Like, they don't want to release it because no one's going to movie theaters right now.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, I looked. I went through the thing and, like, looked at the seats for Tenet. Like, I was going to get a ticket. And sure enough, like, you cannot buy, like, a seat anywhere near anybody else in there. They got, like, a huge theater, and there's, like, maybe 20 people.
I like the idea what Mulan went through. So they reviewed, they let, even though it's a terrible movie, I've heard, Mulan is $30 on,
Disney Premiere, Disney Plus,
yeah.
But it's going to be free, December 4th, I think. They're just adding it to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah.
I like, you're going to make more money that way. The problem is you're not going to make any headlines. Like Blockbuster Weekend.
Well, you're missing it. You can do that at any time, man. You can put it on like a streaming service at any time. I guess you could charge like a certain amount. They have released some movies like that where you pay $20-$30 to see it, but you're missing out on the box office. I don't know if that really replaces the box office. Dude, I don't know.
Did Mulan make more money? The real question is between what we're talking about is, did Mulan's strategy make more money than Tenet's strategy? And if I were just going to guess, well, yes.
The thing is, I mean, we know from like Box Office Mojo about how much Tenet made, but Warner Bros. Isn't releasing their internal numbers, so nobody really knows.
Right, like, and nobody would know what.
Yeah, no
Disney
one's
Plus is going to make.
Yeah, either. Exactly. So. Yeah, it's like the great unknown right now.
But my assumptions are always correct, Bobby. That's why I'm sitting here on a rich couch. Mm-hmm. All right, so all your stuff is done. We don't have lists, but we're going to go down a list, Bobby. We tried pendulum painting today. That means you tie a string to a can of paint and you swing it. And then these geometric designs end up coming because it's pouring out of the bottom of the paint. Pretty easy to set up. I would say, you know, it's a few carabiners, some fish, fishing tape or fishing line. And that's pretty much it. You know, a few other things and a tarp. And so we did it outside and it came out looking pretty cool. And so we're like, let's try it again with some other, changing a few things around. And there's some pictures on the Discord of it. These people are way better than what we did. But anyway, at some point, the knot that Mila had tied, I don't know why I had, you know, I want to include the kid to make her feel like she's contributing. And I showed her a really simple knot, which is the square knot. And her knot gave. And the bucket of paint fell between me, the baby, Sam, and our brand new patio furniture that was just bought this year, and just sprayed paint all over everything. Not the baby. My reactions were quick enough to get the baby out of the way, but it landed on my phone. Almost worst case scenario, almost the patio, everything. So I got the pressure washer, sprayed all that away, but the system is in place and I feel like Sam's super artistic. She's really good at visualizing and getting what she wants. So I believe she's going to start making some cool shit out of this. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, pendulum painting, you'll see some cool shit.
It reminds me, the designs remind me of those things you used to get. I don't know, when I was in elementary school, It was like a circular gear-like thing, and you'd put your pencil in it, and then you'd, like, rotate it with the pencil.
Yeah, that's called
Is that a spirograph?
Is that a sextant?
Sextant?
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be a spirograph. That sounds right. It
sounds better than a sextant.
Yeah. Not sure what that is. Huh. Oh, that's cool.
If we only had an AI to look the difference up between a sextant and a... what?
A spirograph?
Spirograph.
I'm pretty sure it's a spirograph.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kurt the Ape says. So I feel that that's stronger than our AI. Also, by some crazy turn of events, I have now a 2020 Mercedes-Benz GLC. It's kind of like their small SUV. It's almost like a giant when I was driving around, it's like a giant Mini Cooper. That's what it feels like.
A giant Mini Cooper?
Yeah.
So like a normal car?
Yeah, but everything, the styling, the shape, everything's like a Mini Cooper, but just much bigger.
Okay.
I guess it's $63,000. I don't know what level, because this is...
It's a 2020?
Yeah. This is a loaner that we have, because we traded in the mother-in-law's, which is being, like, repaired. So they gave us this. She can't take that to Mexico, where she lives, so she just left it with us and took one of our shitty cars. So now we have a Mercedes, like a fucking sick-ass Mercedes. So the entire dash, 60% of the dash is one continuous screen with no brakes. So it's like a gigantic oval iPad that goes from your left-hand steering wheel all the way past where your radio would be. And that's how her other car
is. Your left-hand steering wheel?
The left hand on your steering wheel.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I thought, the way you said it made it sound like there were two steering wheels.
I'm drunk, Bobby, okay. Like really drunk. And so you control everything from there. All the instrumentation, everything is, and it looks, it's a beautiful screen. It's not like regular TV, because the screens on most cars are terrible, right? This is like high def, looks awesome.
Yeah.
The UI is great. And that little tiny screen that they just showed, that's not the screen. This thing goes all the way past where you're... Anyway, so you have a little palm rest, and then you have a mouse trackpad, like a really big one. And you can control this screen with your right hand while you're driving.
The trackpad's on the steering wheel?
No, it's on your right, where your right hand rests normally.
Okay.
So like a... on the center console. It's a very strange. The whole thing is very strange.
Seems like cup holders usually go there.
Yeah, it's true. But that's why this, where your wrist rests, is elevated on this little, like, platform. And then the cups would go around that. It just works somehow. Everything just works. So I was like, why would anybody buy something so expensive? $100,000, $120,000. And it really, it's all about the details, man. Like, everything is nice. Everything just works well. Like, there's... When you turn off the light, it doesn't just turn off. It fades away. When you move the volume up, it's not this flywheel or this knob. It's a tactile, knobby thing that feels fantastic when you turn it. From the ground up, every little tiny thing... you can't complain about a goddamn thing in this thing. It's ugly. I'll give it that. But besides that,
it's got a weird shape.
Everything just works way better than it should, and I'm not used to that. Like, the sunroof has three levels. There's the blackout level. There's the mid level. There's the glass level, and then there's the open level. Oh, four levels. Four levels of sunroof. It's fun to drive. It's a lot of fun, and the devil's in the details, right? Like, details really cost a lot of time and money. That's a lot of fun.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, I guess you're paying for that, though.
Yeah, you are definitely paying for it. Oh, and the other thing is, her 2020 is getting serviced, so we get this other 2020 for free. We just get to drive it around. You know what I mean?
Until it's done being serviced?
Yeah, until it's done being serviced.
And why isn't she driving it around?
Because she can't take it to Mexico.
Oh, okay. Because
of insurance reasons. Yeah. A couple things that popped up this week. Game. Hey, let's talk about some games, Bobby. Chronos Before the Ashes, which is the prequel to Remnant from the Ashes, is being worked on right now. And I was, for a second, I got super, like, fucking excited. Like, cool, this is the new shit. It is not the new shit. This is actually really old shit. This is their first game that they did in the series, but it was VR only for like the PlayStation VR or something like that. And now they're taking that game, putting it in HD, and then opening it up to all platforms. So it's going to be, you can just play it as a regular game.
Yeah.
But it is not, it looks a lot, it's hard to find any info on this, but it looks a lot more like an action adventure, more like a Breath of the Wild than it does a,
okay,
you know,
they don't have a price for this yet.
There's almost no information that I could find about this, but, something else, I don't play this game for the story. So I'm not really interested in this, unfortunately. Maybe it'll be great. If it's great, I'll try to check it out. But it's like I was excited, and then I was not. And mm-hmm. that's where I'm at. Star Renegades is something Workoni has put on our Discord. That's something that you can do, too. We need, more than anything, I feel like we need news articles, things that are really important in PC gaming, or whatever. Just news articles you want us to want to hear us talk about. But anyway, so he put this game up, and this looks like a really quintessential, like what I think about when I think about a like 90s or 2000s Japanese RPG. Like you have this group that follows you around when you're on the world level, and then when you go into the fighting, your team is on the left, their team is on the right, like old school shit, but the pixel art is fantastic, and they have a few mechanics that are brand new, and it just looks really good. Like, I would definitely get sucked into this if I was, if I had all the time in the world. It looks dope. It looks really good.
On the screen we're looking at, it says it's about $26, but that's Canadian, so I'm not sure how much that is U.S., but seems a little pricey.
You know, if you're getting 75 hours out of it.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, the reviews are pretty good. Very positive. Not a whole lot of reviews.
And that's all for our highlights.
Hmm. Yep. So time for listener questions. Let's do it.
It's weird going from highlights to listener questions.
Huh? Yeah. Well, we are at an hour 20. So, I mean, we're on time. And we've got a pretty good amount of listener questions. We had one last week. It was something we'd already talked about. So the first one is from M. Pilaf. When are we going to play a drinking game as a podcast?
Probably never. He's sober. And I always get drunk every episode anyway. Well,
I think the idea is the listeners play the drinking game, right? So like every time we do something, they drink.
Yeah, Jen's actually came up with a bingo card.
Oh, the bingo card.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It was like really accurate.
Yeah, we probably need an updated version of that, but yeah. That's a good idea. Submit your deal.
Dead air is in the middle. Like, it's just guaranteed.
We're pretty good on that.
Dude, there's a... I always like to bring light to this game. It's called something Fiesta. 8-Bit Fiesta. Mm-hmm. And it's a regular party game where you play 8-bit characters and you jump around, you do different things, race car, you know, it's like a Mario Party ripoff, but in 8-bit. But you can set this game into a drinking game mode, and you can set how many drinks per loss or whatever. So one drink, two drink, whatever you want. And
it's a game that's specifically designed to be a drinking game. And am I seeing that right? It's free? I thought this cost money.
It used to. Shit.
Okay.
But it was always
You can buy game packs. Yeah, it used to. You bought this game. You paid money for it. Now it's apparently free to play, but you can buy game packs.
Yeah, and it's on the the workshop, Steam Workshop. So your costumes, you can download pretty much anything you can think of. Mm-hmm. Somebody's made a costume for it already.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But like, this is a game that I believe in and I support. If I'm ever sitting at my computer and this pops up, I'm buying all those game packs. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, so let's see. In chat, he's saying...
Or maybe it's just free there only, like healthcare.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, wacky Canada. When will you get it right? But he's saying, yeah, I get a pod or a game that we play as a community after the podcast. So not something during the show. So yeah, something like that would be perfect.
Yeah. Except for a Sunday night, and everybody has to work on Monday. But yeah, we can work something out, dude.
Oh, and Star Renegades is on Game Pass right now. So
fuck yes.
You don't need to spend $26.09 Canadian. All right, next question from The Livingston. What is your favorite 90s band, and why is Fred Durst the front man of it?
Damn. Mm. Dude, yes.
The Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, dude. Got I love time. That shit, dude.
Got another rhyme. You know what he's doing now?
No.
He's directing movies.
Are they good?
No. No, they're pretty bad. The last one he did, I can't remember the name of it, but John Travolta was in it. I think it's about like some stalker or something like that. What's the name of
it? Have you seen one, though? You're just saying that.
The Fanatic. Okay, there it is. No, I haven't seen it. Maybe it's good. But, I mean, okay, the Rotten Tomato was just like in the dumpster. Maybe there's something to it. But, I mean, it's John Travolta. How bad could it be, right? He's usually okay, but... that's just kind of weird, though. Fred Durst is directing movies.
Dude, I really like that. Yeah, that and, well, I was a Prodigy.
1.5 on Letterboxd. That's the lowest Letterboxd score I've ever seen. One of the lowest.
Whew. Prodigy? Anything on that, Bobby?
Prodigy. I like that music video they had about that, not Firestarter.
Smack my bitch up.
That one.
Switch my pitch up.
And then, at the end,
that dude's dead now.
Yeah, he died a few years ago. But then at the end, you realize, you know, they have the big reveal. The, it's all shot in first person, and it's like someone going out on this rampage. crazy bender, you know, drinking, attacking people, just getting thrown out of bars. And then at the end, the person looks in the mirror and it's a girl.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Prodigy. That got it, like 90s techno was just so
great. It's
such a racking noise.
Use sword swiping and clanging as their bass beat.
What was that song from Blade, which is still the best superhero movie?
Fuck right off.
Yeah, dude. It nailed it. Yeah, but yeah, that one, that was a banger. But
can we hear it?
Yeah, dude. They never topped that one. Never topped Blade.
Yeah, we're not getting
it. Been trying for years. Never topped it. Everybody knows that jam. And then the sprinklers come on, and it's all
is that
blood.
Sandstorm? I think it might be Sandstorm.
No.
No. All right.
Yep, and then Blade shows up, kills a bunch of people. Dude, the choreography in this movie, I watched it not too long ago. It's so good. It's hard to believe that it was made so long ago. Really good movie. All right, next question.
Oh, there's a new Blade. And it's that black guy.
Oh, it's going to be Mahershala Ali. Yeah.
Yeah. Mahershala Ali. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Mahershala. Yep.
It's the first time
ever. Yeah, he wins a few Oscars and then he makes a Blade movie. Okay. Right. I think we all forgot Ryan Reynolds was in a Blade movie too.
He was the bad guy, right?
No. That was the one where they were a team, Blade Trinity.
That's right.
And the only thing I remember about that movie was Ryan Reynolds talking to someone about the other girl. Like they do the stupid movie thing where they talk about someone right there as if she's not there.
Oh, right.
And he's like, and she starts putting on headphones. She's like, she likes to listen to music while she kills vampires, gets her in the mood. Usually a mix of like blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he's doing his like, yeah, like smirky Ryan Reynolds thing. And I'm just like, that's the only thing I remember from that movie.
Dude, he sold his his gin company for like $64 million. Is that right?
I have no idea.
A lot of money.
Is that Mint Mobile? Is that his?
No, that's his new thing.
Okay.
That's what he just bought.
We brought Rick Moranis back for?
Yeah.
Rick Moranis looking good, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question from MP Loff again. If you two could travel anywhere in the world for a vacation, where would it be? No families, just you two.
Just us two?
Oh, boy, that sounds like trouble. Like Thailand sex tour or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with that.
We're going to Thailand.
No, it's totally video game. And we're going for the DLG, ladies. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Okay, next question from Torta. Hey, Bobby, since you have been playing older Nintendo games, have you seen the 3D Sen emulator? We talked about that a while ago. 3D Sen? So there's two versions. There's 3D Sen and 3D VR Sen. And it's an emulator for Nintendo that converts in real time the game to like a 3D.
Oh, I do remember
like
that.
A 3D effect.
Like a two 2.5D.
Yeah, like 2.5D. Like it stretches out the terrain in the background. If you look it up on YouTube, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It stretches the textures and basically makes the textures 3D. And it looks really cool. And it's got to be crazy to play games like that. I would love to check this out, especially in VR. It's on Steam, but I don't know if the VR version's on Steam yet. I think it was like $9. And then the VR version's $20. I mean, I'm kind of interested in that. It seems like it might be a little gimmicky. Like I'd play it for a little bit, say, okay, that was cool, and then never touch it again.
I mean, it's tough. It's very positive with 79 reviews. Nobody's touching this. Mm-hmm. What about the other one, Bobby?
I don't know if 3D, the VR version.
No, that's the VR that we're looking at. What about the regular 3D Sen? Is that on Steam?
I thought that was 3D Sen.
Go.
Okay.
There we go.
So that one's only...
Dude, nobody touches. We're looking at 187 reviews overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, shit. I mean, it's very positive. It just didn't catch on.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of seems cool, but again, it's just like... I don't know if that would be that entertaining for very long. The VR one I would check out. I'd want to check that one out. I don't think I'd get the regular one.
Do it. You're taking the VR this week because I didn't touch it for 2 weeks.
Well, I'll take the VR or the Switch. I'll take one or the other. I'm not getting to both this week.
Take them both.
I don't need stuff around my house. Although I do kind of want to play the VR. I kind of missed it this week. Warconius says, EA Play is joining Xbox Game Pass soon and is also available separately in Origin and Steam. If Steam were finally to come up with their game subscription program, what would it look like?
Man.
This is the only thing I could think of because Steam has such...
I think it would be tiered.
I don't even know if you do tiered. This is my idea for the Steam subscription service. It's like Humble Bundle where it changes every month. And developers can opt into it. So,
and you have the option to keep while basically, you buy.
Yeah, basically, you get a free version. And you know, maybe they put something into it like, you know, it's discounted for the month if you choose to buy it. But basically, you get like 10 free games a month, and then the next month it switches over.
Right. But then you get a discount if you want to buy it.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Sure. You get a discount if you want to buy it.
See, guys, see what I was telling you about? You're going to get this fucking... Apple splitting full 100% brain activity. That's good shit, dude. I really like that. That's awesome.
But it'll never happen. Not with Steam.
But you know, so one of my non-gaming friends that used to be a gaming friend, you know, way back in the day, mm-hmm. was like, hey, what about this Stadia thing? I said, terrible. He said, mm-hmm. why? I said, this and this and this. And then I was like, you know, really, if you're going to be a console player these days, I almost feel like Xbox with the Game Pass, as far as like overall value for gameplay, is probably the way to go. I know that Sony has better first party games, and we're never going to touch that. They probably have the best first party game. Well, Nintendo's are pretty fucking fantastic too. But anyway, like the Xbox with the Xbox Game Pass is kind of where you want to be if you're a super casual. I feel like
the Game Pass for PC.
No,
just for the Xbox.
For the Xbox, yeah. It's $15 a month. You get all those games.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with.
You
that.
Can't go wrong. It's mm-hmm. it's literally Netflix for games.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a great deal. Another question from Warconius: which Prince of Persia game have you played? Which do you prefer? Any nostalgia for them? I have only played the very first Prince of Persia game. I'm talking like numero uno on a 486, like Windows 3.1 or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, that's the only Prince of Persia game I've ever played. I've seen the movie. I think I fell asleep, actually. But it was such a boring movie. It was just like brown the entire time, dude. That's all I remember about that movie. It's just like the whole thing is just brown.
Oh, man. I definitely played one on... PlayStation 1?
Yeah, that Prince of Persia right there, dude. That I played a lot of that. That was a fun game, man.
Why is he white?
The animation in
that
game.
Why is he a white guy?
I don't know. I don't really remember him being like that. Maybe he was.
He's totally... Nailed it. Your first good drop, dude. That was awesome. Simon.
But this game, God, dude, I'm going to go home. This is what I'm playing next week. Prince of Persia 1, guys. Oh, these dudes with the swords.
Fucking guy. No,
because the animation
on
this guy. Look at the character jumping around and moving. Like, the animation on that.
At the time.
At the time was felt so fluid. Like, the way his body moved. Oh, yeah, those little panels you jump on. Oh, yeah. Dude, you're going to hear all about this next week, guys. Prince of Persia 1, taking it back. Maybe get some secret agent in, too.
Wow.
Some Jill of the Jungle.
I'm sure we're going to get 14 more Patreons off of that. Dude, play Dead Cells. You're going to have it on my
Dead Cells?
My Switch.
Oh, yeah, maybe I'll check that out. I don't know, man. It's no Prince of Persia.
I played one on PlayStation 2, I believe. Yeah, let's see what that one is. But... You know, there was a wall running. There was some hardcore parkour.
I don't even know what these games turned into. Were they just like action adventure games like Assassin's Creed without the stealth?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot more like jumping puzzles.
Like Tomb Raider kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. More. Yeah. I feel like it was more hardcore parkour. That was the whole thing for a while.
Well, he's fighting right now. Maybe after he's done fighting, he'll. Swinging off of walls.
Yeah, all these walls all have poles sticking out of them for
no reason. Thumbnail with a butt.
Oh yeah.
It's just like the thumbnail's just a straight up butt. What's up with that, dude? That was like YouTube in like 2009, man.
Is that his butt? Whose butt is it?
That was a
more mystery music.
Pretty sure that was a lady's butt. This looks like a lot of parkour here, though. This is Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time 5.
I definitely played this.
They didn't even come up with cool subtitles. They just called it Sands of Time 5.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. What else?
Next question from Omerta. If the concept of the 9-to-5 job did not exist and the world worked on looser hour restrictions, what would be your perfect shift? Morning bird or night owl? I mean, I'm totally fine with the morning shift now, dude. I wake up every day at like 5 or 6 a.m.
Yeah,
you know, just naturally. So, like, it took me a while to get there when I was younger. No way, man. Like, way more of a night owl. But
the
now,
the older we get, it's just going to go slower. We're going to be
We're going to be 80s, at Denny's at 4 o'clock in the morning pretty soon here.
And we'll be remember about our podcast? Was that real? Yeah, man, a real shift is not to go in at all. I mean, I know everybody talks about how you'd be bored if you didn't have a job. I don't think that really applies to PC gamers. I was talking to JP Diddy. Like, one of my dreams would be to pause time so I don't get older and just get through all the games that I want to get through, which would probably take 5 years. And I would be super happy. To put my life and body on stasis and just get through everything that I want.
Hmm.
That's how long it would take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, if it was a really good game that I got into, yeah, maybe. But otherwise, I don't know. I don't feel good about sitting at a computer for too long and just playing games day after day.
Oh, I'd be jacking off a lot, too.
Okay, so yeah, switching it up. But yeah, I mean, there's good and bad things about the 9-to-5. The good thing is everybody else is on that schedule, you know, and it's super annoying when someone's not on that schedule because you're just like, you know, when you're trying to like coordinate and it's like, oh, you know, let's do something like Saturday afternoon or like Sunday afternoon. And they're like, oh, I'm working those days. What about like Tuesday at like 1:30? Like, no, dude, me and like every other adult in the world are working during that hour.
Yeah.
But the other thing that sucks is everybody's on that schedule. So traffic and, you know, going to like the bank after work.
By the way, traffic is back.
It's back, dude.
Yeah.
It's 100% back.
Not 100%.
Yeah. It's like 90%, man. Yeah. It's pretty much there. It was so nice when it wasn't.
It was so nice. It was so nice.
Yeah. But I mean, at this point, dude, I'm totally fine. I like to go into work early, get it done, go home. That's our last question.
Was it?
Yep.
Oh.
End of the road.
I've got a question for you, Bob. No, we should do it another time. I think we're at 2 hours. I do want to really go over this COVID thing. We both think about it and this sets it out.
Oh my God, dude. You aren't going to like drop some QAnon shit on me or
No. I'm not a conspiracy theorist okay. at all.
Let's drop some truth.
But like really what you think about it and what I think about it. But no, I'm nothing crazy.
Yeah. Not any. I mean, I don't really have much thought on it, honestly. Like it sucks. It's not cool. It's like everyone should be taking precautions, washing your hands and, you know, using masks and everything, but you know, I don't know. Like, you know, using common sense, but I totally understand like businesses opening back up and trying to sure. you know, get the economy going a little bit.
Yeah.
But
and I mean, there's a it's funny because I have a lot of like right wing talking points, but I'm as left as you can get. But it's like people aren't going out. They're killing themselves. They can't pay their rent. There's depression. At what point is keeping people locked down worse than the people that are going to die?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. At what point is there must the cure be some, worse than the solution?
There must be some X there where they cross over mm-hmm. and one is better than the other. And nobody knows. This is novel. So we're just making it up as we go yeah. along.
I mean, well, the problem with that and the problem that we're having right now is the problem we always have is what's right and good for some people is not right and good for other people. Yeah. So there's a lot of people that are just like, I don't see what the big deal is. You know, right. Like teenagers, dude, they don't give a shit.
Yeah. they feel like they
absolutely do not care at all. But like if you're old or if you are, you know, susceptible and, you know, one of those at-risk people, then yeah, it's a little bit more of a bigger deal. And I think what some people are having a little hard time grasping is like the mask is not for you. It's the washing of the hands. It's not for you. I mean, it kind of is, but it's really for everybody else.
I'm totally pro mask, by the way. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mask up, people. You know, even my parents who are, they're on the right side. They're, mm-hmm. they're pretty conservative. I talked to my mom for like half an hour today. She calls me on Sundays now since I never see her. And they're wearing masks. They're quarantining and doing what they can. You know, they still see, like, they have some risks. Like, they watch the grandkids sometimes. So, I mean, that's not
that's
super
how I got
safe.
Fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it can happen. And, you know, everyone, especially me working in education, everyone's got an opinion on, like, opening schools or not. And, like, I mean, you can, but there's 100% going to be issues once that happens.
Yeah, kids are going to die.
Yeah, well, maybe they won't. You know, they're less susceptible. Some of them maybe, but they can still carry it.
There will be one or two kids that die.
Yeah.
Or a few kids that die.
Yeah.
Is that worse than the other 99.9%?
Well, the thing is, when you start talking about statistics like that, like, okay, let's sacrifice 0.2% of our children so everyone else can get an education. It's like mathematically, yeah, that's great until it's your kid.
Dude. Yeah, no, totally.
And that's what everyone's coming from, dude. Like, everyone likes to put people into statistics, and you absolutely can't do that.
Now, I hate to even voice it, but this is the thought that I've had. Mm-hmm. Aren't those the kids that the flu would have killed anyway? Like,
But it's not just the kids. And I don't know, dude.
You know what I mean?
There can be some weird circumstances where like a kid who is just fine could get it and still die. You know, it could be like an immune compromised kid, and you know, does that kid have less of a right to life than any other kid? I mean, do we want to go down that road? But the thing is, kids are carriers, man. My buddy who I was at the beach with getting roasted, he's in Alabama. He's in Mobile, Alabama. He's a doctor. And he's like, yeah, we're getting all sorts of kid cases and they don't show symptoms. They have GI symptoms, which is like, you know, stomach aches or, you know, real minor stuff.
Yeah.
But
and it passes quick.
Yeah. They don't know though. So a lot of kids are walking around with it, giving it to other people. They don't know it. So, I mean, when you open up schools, dude, kids are really, really unhygienic, dude. Super not hygienic. Yeah. Usually around like
me.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Worse, man. Kids will like straight up sneeze in your face, dude. They will be talking to you with their bad egg breath, their nasty ass milk breath, and then they'll just like burp. And they just won't. You look them right in the eye and they just have no idea that what they did is so disgusting and offensive. That's like what you're dealing with sixth grade and below.
Right.
So I could see where like people would be a little freaked out walking into that environment, man.
No, for sure.
But, yeah, I don't know, dude. It's crazy, but I think at some point, like, people are going to have to get back to some.
Dude, I've been going to restaurants again. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It's
I haven't been to a restaurant forever.
So great.
Are you dining outside?
Yeah. Well, no. They just this week that you can dine inside now. All of a sudden.
Oh, they changed it. Okay. Yeah.
But it's funny because I went to a restaurant with somebody because I feel like I was like I've said this before. I feel like a superhero because I feel like I can't get it and I can't give it right now. So I feel like I'm a daywalker, dude. Basically. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I went to a restaurant with somebody who had not been to a restaurant in a long time. We went out and they're like, what the fuck? Like, why do we have to scan this for our menu? Yeah, there's a QR code and that's how you get the menus now, right?
Okay, yeah.
And why are we sitting outside? He's like, this is so fucking stupid. This is a stupid restaurant. And I was like, dude, this is how things are done now. Like, this is everywhere. This is not this restaurant. That's how things are done.
Yeah. And, I don't know, man. I'm getting, I'll tell you what, dude, I'm getting a little tired of people complaining. Well, especially because I've been back at work and that's literally all I deal with like all day. I go in and I'm like, this is cool, man. Flex time. Like I could work from home if I wanted to. I could come in at 9 and leave at 1. I end up going in at like 7:30 and I don't get out of there till like 4 because I'm just so damn busy. But like so many people, not just at work, but everywhere are complaining. And I'm just like, yeah, dude, it sucks. It sucked for a while. This is not great. We know it. Not a fucking headline anymore. Let's all just get over it. So I don't know, dude. I'm like at the point where I've kind of accepted it. And also I'm like so busy right now. It doesn't really, I'm not getting stir crazy or anything.
Welcome
in my house.
World, dude. Yeah. That's just where like, I've been since the beginning.
Yeah.
It's only gotten busier since this started, you know, Sam. So her kid's going to a school, online. And this is something that everybody's dealing with, right? The whole, how do I keep my kid in the seat when I'm not there to watch my kid be in the seat? You know what I mean?
What grade is she in?
She's in third. But
oh, yeah, that's rough.
Mixed with second grade. She's in a dual.
She's in a mixed class.
Mixed class because they couldn't fill a whole class. I don't know why, but that's how it is. And Sam is digging her heels in. She's talking to principals. She's like, why is my kid learning second grade shit when she's a third grader? And she's not happy with that. But that's not what I was trying to bring up. I'm bringing up every guy at work is saying the same shit. I'm not at home to watch these motherfuckers not get up out of their...
It's a big problem with younger kids.
Yeah. How do you do it?
Yeah.
Who knows? These are things that are come out through the next few couple years, I guess.
It hasn't. We've had issues at work. But one funny story. So my girlfriend she's working straight from home. She's not going into school and teaching remotely there. She's working straight from home. And she's actually doing really well. Like running into problems, sure. But otherwise, things are actually going pretty well. But she's got one student whose parent sits next to them the entire time during class. And then we'll advocate for the student. So like if the student doesn't get something, the parent will type into the chat, like, wait, can you slow down? Can you explain that more? He doesn't understand it. This kid's in seventh grade. It's like, dude,
damn.
Cut the umbilical cord, bro.
Like, yeah, and I've, sure.
This is not the first time I've seen stuff like that. Like, well, I've heard about this happened like 8 years ago. I got a friend who works in admin, you know, vice principal, and he was having a meeting with the parent who was upset about something with the kid. And they walk in, they sit down to have this meeting, and the kid hops up in the parent's lap and just like sits there.
What grade?
Sixth grade. So maybe not as bad, but still. That's like that Game of Thrones where that kid's like breastfeeding.
Yeah. That's how bad that is.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Holy hell.
You're talking about like, what, a 11-year-old or something at that age?
That's when they call Child Protective Services?
I don't know, dude.
I think it's what I would have done.
The term is helicopter parent, right? Like, that's what they call that, like a helicopter parent, but...
Multi-drone.
Yeah, that's... got a couple choppers on that.
Infrared camera parenting. His organs are failing.
Yeah, but, you know, that stuff happens every now and then, but it's certainly not the norm.
Like, yeah. Anyways.
All right.
I feel like... At the end of the day, I kind of feel like we should open up. I really do think
Like open up everything?
Yeah, we kind of fucked it up already.
Yeah, well, I think...
I feel like everybody that's going to be exposed already got exposed, or mostly...
Oh, no, dude. Way more people are going to die, dude. Like, definitely. Especially coming into flu season. It's not going to be pretty. But I feel like we need... We could open up, but we just need to change the way we're doing stuff. We need to have, like, outdoor dining and, like, you know, the weird menu stuff and things like that. Like, you know,
I feel like it's going to help for flu season. I feel like a lot more less people are going to get flu.
Well, that depends if people are, you know, taking precautions, which...
I mean, mostly we are, I guess.
Yeah, most of us. Yeah.
I wore a mask today. Anyway, thank you for listening to our PC Gaming Podcast, which is quickly becoming Bobby and Emilio's lives. tune in next week when we talk about a colonoscopy. No, I don't know.
A colon.
speaking for Bobby and myself, COVID titties.
Where's the button?